get ready for an electrifying episode of the Happy Millions show featuring the incredible, remarkable serial entrepreneur and fast growth CEO, Mike Cooch. Now, join us. This is going to be a raw, real and honest conversation about the power of connection, finding light in dark times and the importance of seeking help. Now, we are cutting through the fluff on this particular episode and diving deep into what truly matters in building a business and a life that you absolutely love. No Sunday blues here, just pure inspiration. Here we go.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hey, Animus Capel, Liz Benny here. Oh my little old lord, I am so freaking fired up, so freaking excited for you to hear a raw, real and honest interview with the incredible, the co-Colorado loving, like, yes, incredible business person, Mr. Mike Cooch. How are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Well, I'm fired up. I'm really, really, really excited.
You're always fired up. I love it.
Well, I'm talking to you. This is going to be super duper duper a lot of fun. So everyone watching this right now, I quite literally said this to Mike just before we pressed record here. I said, I have this many questions prepped and ready to go. Here's the reason why. Like, Mike and I are entrepreneurs just like the people watching this right now. And sometimes when you over prepare, it just doesn't feel right. So in true, raw, real, and honest style, we're going to cut to the fat. We're going to cut to the chase. Cut to the fat, I don't even know what that means. We're going to cut to the chase here because here on the Happy Millions Show, we are 100% committed to helping business people, entrepreneurs, build businesses and lives that they absolutely love, like actually love, not just like Instagram kind of love. And not at the cost of things that matter most, like their family, their, you know, their marriage, their happiness, their inner joy. And I think a lot of people are going about it the wrong way. So, Mike, are you fired up for today?
I'm fired up. Yes, I'm excited to be here. I love it.
Nice. This is amazing. By the way, everyone watching this right now, he quite literally just made it out of the shower. He was like,
I did. That's why if you see me, like, water still dripping down my face, this was a podcast interview and I thought audio. And then I was like, oh shit, video. And so here I am.
This is amazing. Okay, we're going to start it off right now by saying, okay, it's Sunday for you right now. Okay, it's Sunday. It's Monday here in New Zealand. It's Sunday. Why, given the fact that it's your Sunday, why are you on a podcast, quote unquote, working right now?
That's a great question. You know, for as long as I can remember, I have hated the fact that we even keep track of what day of the week it is based on work, right? Or, you know, or just about any other reason. Like, to me, it makes no sense. I have always just wanted to live, and I want every day to incorporate as much of the things that I value in living. And this is one of them. And I could care less that it's Sunday. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, look, you and I are so similar in that regard. I was actually speaking with some of my coaching clients about it the other day. I actually got them to close their eyes and pretend and, like, embody the fact that it's Christmas Day. And they had convinced their bodies it was Christmas Day. And I think we live by, in some regards, we still live by these rules that were made up so long ago in a world that just doesn't, it's not here anymore. We don't have to do it that way anymore. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I 100% agree with that. And it's, yeah, it's one of those things that is so easy to be culturally conditioned. You know, we live in a society where, like you said, there are these societal rules and norms, and it's easy to just go along with those and not question those. I think we live in a very interesting time right now where in all kinds of different regards, people are questioning those things. And I think it's really good. It's really healthy. And for me as an entrepreneur, schedule, time, how I'm spending that time, that has always just been a very, very important issue to me and just kind of front and center to me. And yeah, days of the week to me, it's just always seemed like this just silly thing.
Oh, look, I couldn't agree more. So with that said, so what are your hours where you are, like, most productive? Because I'm a little bit weird. You might be a little bit like me. Sometimes I just love working from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. It's like, boom, I'm on. Like, when are you on?
Yeah, you know what? That's an interesting thing to me that I've had to kind of mess around with and is top of mind because I actually just made a change just in the last handful of months that's been really important for me. So I would say I have always naturally been a night person, and I get a big dose of energy and, you know, 10 PM on. And so if you said, hey, work from 10 to 3 in the morning, that sounds great to me. Play from 10 till 3 in the morning, you know, whatever, that all sounds good to me. But I also have kids, and those kids do live by a more typical structured schedule, with school and things like that. I'm not homeschooling them or anything like that. And so I, you know, and as you know, recently divorced. And so, you know, a good amount of the time I have the kids, just me, you know, taking care of them. And I've got to make my schedule work with their schedule. That's something that's super important to me. I try and be as involved with them as I possibly can. And so, I have recently shifted to a getting up very early. Well, for me, very early, 5 a.m. And that has made a big difference for me. And it took me a while to adjust. It took me probably a solid month before I could get out of bed without being like, you know, groggy and kind of pissed off that I was doing this. but then it was pretty wild because I really actually noticed there was a week where I noticed, I was like, whoa, I was like, I'm getting out of bed easily. Like I'm getting out of bed and I'm waking up immediately, have energy immediately. And that was a pretty cool thing to feel that happen. So, and now what's interesting is I still have energy at night too. I feel like it's actually worked out for me because I still, at nighttime, I'm still plenty of energy, but I can just put my head down a bed and pass out and be done on a moment's notice. So,
dude, that is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. So entrepreneurs and business people are listening to this. They're like, and a lot of people are looking for that secret, looking for that thing, looking for freedom, looking for, you know, and they're a lot of the time people are looking for, I just want to make my $1 million, or I just want to make my $10 million, or I want to make my $100 million, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to them?
I would say that that is a absolutely critical mistake, and that you know, it is about the process. It is about the journey. And I think, you know, one of the worst things that happened in my life, which is also one of the biggest blessings, is that my dad died at a young age. He was only 51. You know, that was just a very, very powerful eye-opener and reminder for me that, you know, you can make all these plans for what you're going to do at some point. But then at some point for all of us, we don't, you know, have any option to pursue those plans anymore. And we don't know when that's going to be. And I just think that whatever you're doing, whatever you can do today to make every day something that you're happy with, and that the process of what you're doing, what you're building, whatever it is you're pursuing, makes you just as happy as whatever that end goal is, I think is incredibly important. And certainly for entrepreneurs, I mean, I imagine you've been on the roller coaster. I mean, I know I'm older than you, and I've been on the roller coaster probably maybe up and down a couple more times, but I don't know. I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think maybe I can count on one hand the number of them that have been on a pretty kind of up and to the right trajectory without some massive, you know, near collapse, you know, calamity happening. And it's super, super rare that you get through this whole thing without some crazy lows in the process. So I think that you have to be doing something that you can get joy out of, you know, each and every day, or I think it's too much risk. It's too big of a roller coaster.
Dude, I love this. So basically you're saying, as one of my beliefs is, look, we're all dead soon, right? You, me, we're dead soon.
Yeah.
What are we going to do whilst we're alive to freaking have the most fun as humanly possible? Yes, kick ass. Yes, still make a crap ton of money, but do it in a way that actually fulfills you on the up and up, and actually on the down and down, and on the up and up, and on the down and down, because we're all going to get hard times, period. Like your divorce would have been a hard time. It's grueling, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there are some, to that point, like what do you believe, and not to the divorce point yet, we'll talk about that in a second, but what do you believe are, I guess, the top most destructive beliefs that an entrepreneur who's on the pursuit of like financial freedom, so as to have freedom, What do you believe the most destructive beliefs are that entrepreneurs have?
Oh man, that is a great question. Gosh, I would say first, whether it's a belief or not, maybe I'm not sure exactly, but I just think comparison. I just think comparison to somebody else, somebody else's benchmarks that they've established, you know, that they've defined success, and you're comparing what you've done or what you're doing to their definition of success, whether that's a mother, father, significant other, you know, a peer that you see in the industry that you think is doing better than you. I mean, any of those types of things. I think that that's a major, major killer. And then I think that just the belief, you know, this is a tough one because I have two perspectives on it, I guess, that maybe feel opposite, but they're not opposite. And I think people, when they hear me define how I think about it, can be a little bit, it's a little bit of a struggle. But, you know, with money is simultaneously all important and not important at all. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's how can it be both? It can't be, it's critical in today's world. You can't argue that money is an absolutely critical factor in being able to live how you want to live, and being able to enjoy things and do things for nice people and take care of people that you love and all that good stuff. It just is. Mm-hmm. But if you are basing your happiness on how much of that you have, it's a disaster. And I have seen so many entrepreneurs, so many good friends of mine that have made a lot of money, and it's wild to watch because then they go into a tailspin. They go into an emotional tailspin because they thought that that was the thing that was going to deliver happiness. And then they realize, oh geez, I have all of this other psychological, emotional, whatever stuff that I have not been dealing with because I thought money was the answer. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that gets exposed, right? Because the money didn't fix it. So I think that, you know, those things, and then I think we've already kind of hinted at it, but just waiting, some belief that there is a time that it's going to be right, or it's going to be better, or, you know, that you'll be perfectly ready, you know, or something like that. That kind of perfectionism that's baked into procrastination, I think is a big negative belief.
Dude, yes. Okay, so this is amazing. I knew that I'm so glad that I didn't prep any questions for this, because I knew that we were going to have some fun. Actually, I have a couple of like spitfire questions that we're going to do at the end of this, which is going to be fun. But those are the questions that I ask everyone. Let's talk about your marriage.
Yeah.
Was that in any way, shape, or form because of being an entrepreneur, do you think?
It was. And I think that if you took away the label of entrepreneur and you just said personality compatibility, that there were red flags from the very beginning that we ignored because we loved each other. We were attracted to each other. We respected each other. We admired each other. And one of the things about marriage is that you can have all of that and it's still not be great to be married to the other person.
Yeah.
So, you know, we learned that the hard way. We fought through it for years and years and years, honestly, you know, years of therapy, all that stuff. And finally got to the point where we were like, okay, we've been struggling for a long time and we've been giving it the college try, and, you know, we love each other and respect each other, but this stops making sense at some point.
Yep.
And it was, I really, really believe it was the right thing for both of us, for our kids, to divorce. And it was very, very amicable. In fact, we didn't have lawyers. We had I can't remember. It's like a marriage mediator, you know, type of thing. I can't remember the exact title, but anyway, she's been doing that for like 35 years. And she said it was the easiest divorce that she's ever managed in 35 years. And so I, you know, I'm proud of that. But yeah, I mean, if you were to look at our personalities, mm-hmm. and, you know, you had some sort of spectrum that you could put me on one side and her on the other, I'm on one side and she's on the other. She has a much, much more conservative, traditional approach to certain things than I do. And, mm-hmm. and my tolerance for risk is entirely different for hers than hers.
Yep.
And for me, and I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, it's a way of life for me. It's a calling for me where I don't know that I could possibly do anything different. Mm-hmm. It would be like literally like just, hey, Mike, just stop being who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be that hard for me. I don't know. I mean, it's impossible for me to think of doing something else and being somebody else. And so for a person who sees like their career as, well, it's just a job. It's just a paycheck, like move to another job with a better paycheck or better hours or whatever. I think it can seem kind of insane. Like some of the decisions that you'll make and some of the things that you'll stick through where other people are like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, just go get a paycheck. Like, you're a smart guy. You've got degrees and all this stuff, you know, just go get, you know, whatever. So to be on the roller coaster with somebody who is living that way, I think it could be kind of like being on, you know, married to somebody who's a drug addict or something like that at times where it's like, hey, like you seem out of control. Like, you know, like when are you going to stop this? Like, you're hurting us. And I think that, you know, some of the lows in the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur, I think were very, very hard on her, very hard on us. And honestly, for the first, I mean, we got married pretty young. We were 25, you know, I was 25 years old. I would say for the first at least dozen of those years, I was not mature enough or an effective enough communicator to really be able to handle, to understand that and handle that and handle a partner who wasn't necessarily on the same page with me on all that and do it in a way that would give us a real good shot at success. I mean, honestly, I take a lot of responsibility for that. I think that, you know, there was a big part of me that was just like, why don't you see it my way? Why don't you just understand, you know, that I got to do this stuff? So, you know, that's tough. I think as an entrepreneur, I think it's so critical that your partner, you know, that you guys have really open communication about, you know, financial management, time management, risk management, all that type of stuff. And like be, I don't know, it's hard to say that you're going to be on the same page. Cause if that person isn't cut from the same cloth necessarily, if they don't, you know, if they're not an entrepreneur, they may never truly be on the same page, but to at least have as effective communication as possible and openness and honesty about, you know, everything that kind of comes along with it, I just think is critical if that relationship's going to survive.
Dude, I couldn't agree more. The amazing Alex Sharafin talks about radical transparency in marriage. And anytime we talk, it is always like, oh, this is just between us. And what that always means is it's between us, but it's also between our spouses. So there is actually four people in that conversation because we have radical, you know, radical honesty. Mm. Christy and I have radical honesty and obviously him and Katie do as well. So dude, I firstly, thank you from the bottom of my heart and everyone listening to this right now. Like, I don't think people are honest enough in the entrepreneur game about the hard times, the good times, the marriage breakups, the health. Speaking about health, have you experienced any like health stuff as a result of being an entrepreneur? And if so, what did you learn from that?
Yeah. So I would say, and when you say that there isn't enough openness and honesty, I really agree with that. One of the things that really shook me up, I don't know, it might've been actually towards the end of my marriage that I started noticing this, and maybe that's why, you know, I saw several people that were in the entrepreneurial community that you and I kind of run around in circles in that committed suicide. And that, you know, that was just like so shocking and heartbreaking to me. And then we had, here in my community in San Diego, literally in my neighborhood, had like three entrepreneurs, in a very short period of time commit suicide because they had gotten upside down financially on some, you know, a restaurant and, you know, and things like that. And that, like, it really rattled me, and it impacted how I think about what I'm doing since I work with entrepreneurs. Because there's too much, you know, showing the money and the private jets and things like that, that, it can create that comparison game and set people up for very unrealistic expectations. But for me, this was a very, very big moment, because I think, from an outside perspective, you know, you, anytime I've ever encountered you, you are wildly positive and energetic and optimistic. And yet I know from following you that there have been moments when it hasn't felt that way. And I have never, ever, ever in my life struggled with anything that you could describe even remotely close to depression. And I did not have any empathy for it at all because of that. And so when I would hear about people who were depressed, I was like, well, just, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like go get some exercise and get some, you know, sleep and do something fun and look at the world better. You know, I mean, it was a very like just immature, approach to it. And I can remember towards the end of my marriage, well, towards the end of, this transition between, still just trying to grind away at it, and then us honestly saying, okay, look, like this isn't working. I woke up one morning and immediately the thought entered my mind. It's crazy for me to even say, but the thought of suicide. And it was so, thank God, it was so fucking shocking to me, because I have never remotely felt anything like that before in my life. That it was thankfully, because it was so different for me, I recognized it immediately. It was like, whoa, 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 man. Like, you got to make changes now. You got to get help now. Like that, we can't mess around with that path. Like, because up until that point, I had been able to work on my marriage mostly, not all the time, mostly with the same sense of kind of optimism that I operate as an entrepreneur. I'm always going to find a way to get through this. I'm always going to find a solution. It's there. I'm just going to keep working harder. Right. That it was just such a wake up call for me. And I realized then that I had let my physical health go, which is something I never do. I've always been, you know, I love to exercise, love to eat well. I wasn't sleeping well, I was drinking too much. So it had impacted me in major, major ways. And that morning waking up like that was just like this crazy wake up call, for me. And, I think it is so important that we are all, I mean, whether you're an entrepreneur or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, honesty and taking care of yourself and making sure that you're putting yourself in healthy situations, is just so, so incredibly important. And again, it's one of those topics that I'm glad is becoming more okay for people to talk about, because I think people have always just operated, you know, like with some sort of shame regarding some of those emotions. And I'm very glad. I think my parents raised me in a way that I've never been scared of expressing my feelings or talking pretty openly and honestly about things. And so, you know, it has never bothered me to talk about that. Like, I realize, like, you know, that's not anything to be ashamed of. It's just, it was a result of, you know, many days of being unhappy and being feeling out of control and, you know, kind of all piling up and adding up. But I would say in a, kind of independent of that, as an entrepreneur, I think, eating well and exercising have been absolute foundations of mental health and just longevity and optimism and all that type of stuff for me that I don't know how anybody can do it without taking care of themselves like that. I honestly don't like it. I think it's so vital. It's so important. And that is like a must for me. I mean, every day I eat well, I exercise. I love to party and celebrate. I don't do it like I used to, but I still every once in a while, I like to overdo it a little bit and stuff like that. But I've learned a little bit, to curtail that. But to me, having that foundation of health, I just think is everything.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's a reason why I'm saying wow here. Literally up on my board there, I have my guiding values. And I remember going to a Tony Robbins conference, I don't know, like 50,000 years ago. I think us entrepreneurs have all, in some way, shape or form, listened to him, watched him, been at one of his events.
I love it.
And I remember learning from him, or hearing him be like, health is my top value. I'm like, dude, really? I remember thinking, what on earth? But now, honestly, it is front and center, like top up there. In fact, for those of you watching this right now, so these are my guiding values right at the top. So health, spiritual health, relationship health, mental, mental health is so important for us entrepreneurs, because you can go down some gnarly dark pathways. And if you're not careful, and again, so health, physical health is just so important. So, and then integrity, and then freedom after that, because you can't have freedom, spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, relationship freedom, and, true financial freedom if you've sold yourself out on the pathway up there, which is why integrity for me is, front and center is my second value. Speaking of that, what are your values?
Obviously, you know what? I have like a written list of them that I could like pull up and go through. It's a little bit longer than yours, which I like how concise yours is.
I've got business ones that I've got 12 business ones, boom, 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 like the Kapow Enterprises ones. So there's 12 there, which is, much more. But for me, I've got to remind myself of who I am, which is why I'm like, health, integrity, and freedom. That's how I rock it out.
That's awesome. And here I am, I'm pulling up my Evernote, because I put things into Evernote, but I can say, I can say, off the top of my head, health is at the very, very top. I like that. What's that saying? It's like the healthy person has 1,000 goals and the unhealthy person has one. Uh-huh. And I think that's absolutely the case. Like as soon as your health, is in jeopardy, you realize, oh geez, everything else comes below that. It does. And so, that to me is a major one. And it's changed over time, because how I define health and what I realize it's for me, like to me, it's for being able to live this life and build the life that I want to live, for me and for my kids. Like I realized a handful of years ago where I was like, okay, if I want to do all the things that I want to do in life, I have to have crazy amounts of energy. Uh-huh. I mean, I have to be able to go all day long and not, feel like I have to slug around on the couch for hours every day. And so, using my body and food and exercise and stuff to give me that energy, has become just like a huge priority for me. Freedom is a huge one for me. And that comes with a balancing dose of accountability and responsibility. I don't think that you can have freedom without responsibility and accountability and discipline. And so all of those things are up there as well. Those are the big ones that come to mind. And then I would put in there, I don't even know what exactly the right word for it is, but connection. It's connection to people, social connection, and feeling like that's like that it's real, that there's that honesty that you're talking about, and loyalty and things like that too. Those things are super, super important for me.
Okay. So without your health, beautiful, incredible, amazing Mike, you can't ski in Vail, Colorado.
Yes.
Dude, yes. Let's have a chat about Colorado. So Vail is very important to you, very special to you. Tell me about a favorite memory in Colorado.
Oh my gosh. So many of them, but I would say, you know, my first time taking my daughters skiing was a major, 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 major event for me. And what cracks me up about it too, is here, I'm just like so excited, and they're, you know, they're these tiny little things. Right. And I'm just so excited. Dad's going to, you know, get them out skiing. And this is going to be like part of my legacy, is my kids are going to love skiing. And then these memories of skiing with Dad. Right. And Vail on the Lion's Head lift is where the best kids area is. And it's weird because usually you think of the kids area would be at the very bottom of the mountain. At Lion's Head is actually at the very top of the mountain. So you go all the way to the top of the mountain, and that's where the kids area is. So we get all the way up there. You have to like carry your gear like 100 yards over to the kids area. So the kids are walking along in snow boots for the first time, you know, and all their crap on for the first time. And they're just not happy. They're like, what is going on here? What are we doing this? And sure enough, like we get our we get them strapped in, and it's like 10 seconds later, the biggest blizzard comes through, crazy high winds. They're sobbing like crazy. What are we doing now? Get us out of here. I'm just like, oh God, like I've scarred them for life. So it went completely wrong on me, which is one of the reasons why I just think it was so funny, because here I am with all these intentions of, you know, I'm going to do this thing. Of course, it was all about me, really. You know, I mean, I'm telling myself that it's all about them, but they don't know what the heck is going on.
It's cold.
Yeah. It's just cold. They're like, why are we up here in a blizzard, Dad? It's like 50 mile an hour winds on the top of a mountain. So it was a blast though. And we ski, you know, together several times a year, and it's one of their favorite things to do, which just makes me so happy. So that's a big memory. And then actually entrepreneurial related, getting into the whole online business thing. I was, you know, a successful entrepreneur. I had a more traditional services business though. Mm-hmm. And it was a business that, you know, had a bunch of employees, it had a bunch of overhead, just took my time in a way that I didn't like, you know, that much. And I got all excited about trying to figure out this online thing. I've heard of these people building these online businesses, and this is a long time ago now. But I put my first information product up online, and I was on the ski lift in Vail when my phone buzzed, and I checked my phone, and it was my first stinking sale coming in while I was on the damn ski lift doing the thing that I love. And I was just like, that's it. Like, this is, you know, this is a sign. And that was a very, very important moment for me, because I was doing the thing that I love to do most, skiing with friends on a beautiful Vail bluebird day. And I just made money. And it was a crazy moment for me. I loved it.
There's a big L word that comes with that you and I both love, right?
Big L word?
L. Leverage.
Oh, yes.
Like leverage, man, leverage. This is, it's amazing what you can do when you think differently. And I think that this is why, you know, for us to live the lives that we actually want, I think a lot of people don't realize the power that they have if they just teach themselves to think differently. For example, you know, the whole, you know, it's not the how, it's the who. I mean, that's just a typical, yeah. You know, I say that kind of facetiously, but that's a big thing. It's not how, it's who.
Powerful, yeah.
Yeah. But even to the degree to which, like, we allow ourselves to go, you know what, like, I can be a completely different person tomorrow if I want to be. Like, I can just go, like, you had that aha moment and you were like, that's it. We can all have like that's it type days all the time, whenever we want. Like every single second of every single day can be a new day. And so I use this phrase of, you know, periscope up. Like sometimes we all get into our offices and like, this is my computer. This is my environment. This is my house. This is my home. This is how I do things. These are my coaching programs. This is how I wear my hair. This is what I do. And then we forget that we actually have the ability to change. Mm-hmm. right? So I go, you know, sometimes, and it's kind of like being in a submarine underneath the water, we forget to put the periscope up and go, oh, there is a totally different reality that I can step into.
Yeah.
So with that said, like, what would be a new reality? If you could click your fingers right now and step into a new reality, like, where could Mike Cooch go in like 5 years from now if he was to allow himself to think differently?
Wow. That's a great question. Great challenging question, because I 100% agree with you on, we are, you know, we're creating our own limits oftentimes in our mind. You know, I think that one of the things that this pandemic reminded me of, and that is going to be super important for me in the years ahead, is the power of the power of connection, the power of getting out on the road or in the air on an airplane, whatever it is, into different cultures, different communities, connecting with different people with different experiences. Mm-hmm. I had become a little bit of a homebody in the years prior, somewhat because the marriage and kids and stuff like that, you know, that I kind of talked myself into, oh, I need to, you know, be here all the time. Mm-hmm. And I realize that's costly to me, like not mm-hmm. being around other people and exposed to their ideas and their ways of doing things. And I've always loved to travel. And so, mm-hmm. you know, just being a part of different cultures. And I think 5 years from now, I think specifically, I would really like to have a much more global business. I would like to be traveling around the world to places that are interesting to me and doing business there, not just going as a tourist. So that's a big deal to me. And I think that the world, I don't know, we live in an interesting time, and there's lots of positive and kind of negative, I think, in that statement that I'm saying, where I think being more flexible as to where you are, how you make your living, all that type of stuff, I think is going to be very, very important. And so trying to keep my mind as open and flexible to those things is a priority for me.
Oh, I adore this. Look, I've had a ton of fun. I've had so much fun talking with you. I feel like we could talk for hours and hours and hours about entrepreneurialism. I do have some questions that I want to ask you, kind of like some spitfire questions here in a second. You good for that? You good for a little bit of fun?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Nice. Well, before we get into that though, because they're going to be some fun questions. What would you say to the person, they're sitting there and, there are going to be people who really heard you when you said that you woke up one day and you were like, you had thoughts of not being around here on earth anymore. That's big. That's huge. And thank you so much. I honor your vulnerability. I've certainly had some very, very, very dark times. And, I've got rituals where I have to pull myself out of what I call the devil's dungeon. Like, it doesn't have to be massively religious, you know, devil is whatever you want to call it. It's the despair, it's the depression.
Yeah.
You got to get yourself out sometimes. Well, a lot of the time when you're in there, there are people though listening to that and they're like, and they're probably feeling lost. They're probably feeling like, if I just do you want to speak directly to his or her hearts right now? Do you want to say something to them?
Yeah, I would say that I think what's most important is that you are not alone and that what you are experiencing is not anything to be ashamed of and to get help, that there are people who are very highly trained and qualified to help you. And I think that is so important, like to go and find that support and that outlet, you know, that you can work with to get you back in shape. And that is kind of the way I think about it. It's like getting your mind back in shape. I think, you know, you talked about how, you know, retraining how you think, and it literally is, our brains are crazy, powerful things that can get off in a direction, and we get into patterns and let that direction become a little more permanent. than it needs to be. And there are good people out there that can help you and do that, you know, take care of yourself and go get that help.
Dude, I love that. Thank you so much. Because I mean, and I think sometimes, the whole, just keep going is actually one of the worst things that you can actually do. Sometimes you just need to stop and freaking heal.
Yeah.
You know, and I really needed to stop and like, in comparison to your point from before, comparing yourself to others when you're not healed, when you're not whole, is one of the most destructive things. And that can put you even more down and even more down. And it's dangerous. It can get really dangerous. So, I mean, me, I've been through the Christchurch massacre. I've been through like thousands of earthquakes here. And like, I've been through the two big ones where people actually died, not far from where I am. And then the Christchurch massacre was just a massive identity shock. And then obviously the pandemic, and then massive things from a family standpoint too, with, you know, some big, big, big foundationally shattering, like life-changing stuff. And I think people don't really understand sometimes the degree to which the brain needs healing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so true. And I think that we're learning so much more about that. But I completely agree. Can I share also one perspective that I think maybe more specifically to entrepreneurs that I think might be helpful?
100%. Yes. Yeah.
Cause this is one of those things where I think when you are, particularly like you said, when you're putting your head down and you're just grinding, there can be so much of wrapping your identity into it. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm successful, I'm, you know, all these things. When I heard of the people here in my community that committed suicide because they were upside down on a lease, you know, for their restaurant and things like that, one of the things that it struck me so just strongly was that, you know, those guys were, they were all men in this particular scenario, but those guys may simply have not known that there is an entire set of professionals out there that all they do is turn around those financial situations.
Mm.
To them, that's their job, and they make money doing it. And they can look at a lease where somebody's upside down and just go, this is a turnaround situation, and here's how I do it. And I get a lawyer, and I go and I talk to these people, and we get out of the lease this way, and we get these penalties, and we negotiate them this way. And it's business. It's just business. It's just numbers and money and contracts. It is not life or death. It does not need to be life or death. And I think that what can happen again with entrepreneurs is they can get so stuck in their way of thinking, and they can get their identities and egos so attached to it that if you don't go ask the right person for help, any one of those people could have gone out and found the right person that could have just said, hey man, look, relax. I'll make this go away for you. I'll take care of this. You know what? You're going to have some shitty bills to pay here for the next 18 months to unwind some of this. It's not going to be your best days over the next 18 months, but this is not that big of a deal. We're going to get you out of this contract. We're going to renegotiate some terms. That's what I do for a living, right? Yeah. So again, just like lift your head up, like you said, go find other people that can give you a different perspective, that know how to solve problems that you don't know how to solve yet. And just give yourself that chance to get out of your spin cycle that you're caught in. It can be such a eye-opening thing. And I think can just give you that break that you need to find a new perspective, new strategies, all that good stuff that can, you know, I don't know, just make what can seem like a very, very dark cloud and maybe something you can't escape from. All of a sudden, you know, there's light and there's opportunity again.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that. The old silver lining, like there's always a way. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Thank you for the person or the people that needed to hear that. Cause I would hazard a guess that there's someone's life that just was changed there. So thank you for that. Really and truly. Wow, thank you. Mm-hmm. So it kind of feels weird to change the energy. So I'm going to talk through changing the energy to have a little bit of we're going to have a little bit of fun, but it feels weird. So I'm just talking myself through this now because it's right, cool.
Let's talk about happiness and sunshine. Yeah.
No. That's the thing is that it doesn't again, I wanted a raw, real, honest conversation with you, but I also didn't want to just suddenly go, okay, cool. Thanks for that comment. And now let's just raw, real, and honest means raw, real, and honest.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. I love entrepreneurial vulnerability. I was listening to a podcast a year and a half ago, and I was sobbing whilst I was listening. And it was so impactful to me because I know how to help people make millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's super duper duper easy. And I was stuck in a cycle and in a pattern at that point in time where it was okay for me to help other people build their business, but I wasn't doing it for myself. So it was this self-sacrificial, helping other people make millions and millions of dollars and then helping them become famous at the cost of my own financial, well-being, et cetera, my spiritual well-being and my emotional well-being. And what I realized was that was basically an act of self-hatred.
Wow.
And it was huge. Like I was sobbing. So I think through the power of vulnerability, we get to change the world. So thank you so much for your vulnerability. That was just amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we're going to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah,
and I just want you to just have a little bit of fun with this. It doesn't matter. These are superficial, just fun questions. And we're going to have some fun with this. Okay. So what was the last thing you bought and why?
Last thing that I bought and why, was skincare products, men's skincare products. Cause I was like, oh shit, I'm getting old.
I love that. Okay, your top three favorite movies and why.
Three favorite movies. Pulp Fiction, just because I thought it was creatively just brilliant and the characters in it were brilliant. Love the actors. Dead Poets Society, because the reminder of living your life and I thought the acting, Robin Williams in it, was absolutely amazing. Third one, what would a third one be? I don't know. I don't even know that I can think of a third one. Those two are
so good. That is amazing. So who has most positively impacted your life and why?
Who has most positively impacted my whole life and why? That is a very interesting one. I would have to say my dad, largely because of the fact that he died so young. And then you brought him up earlier. I would say Tony Robbins filled the shoes, to an extent, a father figure in terms of giving me some frameworks for thinking and approaching my life that I needed when I didn't have a dad anymore to go and talk to. I was a very, very young man and just starting to figure out how to get some shit together in my life. And all of a sudden he was gone.
How did you find Tony Robbins? On the late night infomercial?
Bought one of the books at Barnes and Noble. And then I bought all of his CDs and I literally played them anytime I was in the car. And I've probably listened to everything he's ever produced 150 times over. It's just like, I would just, anytime I was in the car, never listened to the radio, just had those things just going constantly.
Man, Date with Destiny was life-changing for me. I remember standing there and changing the belief of me being dirty, disgusting, wrong, and I deserve to die. That was the belief that I held going into I am loved. I'm worthy of love. I'm okay as I am. I'm allowed to be myself. Those were genuinely changing that belief at Date with Destiny. Such a powerful event that one.
It's amazing how that can happen. I mean, I met a woman at one of Tony Robbins' events that became a good friend, and her friends all chipped in and bought her a ticket to go to his event because she was suicidal. And they were all just like, we don't know what to do for you anymore. And we love you. And we're just like throwing Hail Mary passes. And she ended up, platinum member in his programs and is an unbelievably successful, cool, happy person now. And she's just like, it is 100% that event. That event changed my life. And I was just, it's wild. It's so cool. I mean, the impact that that guy has had is just ridiculous.
Dude, ridiculous.
So when was that for you? When did you go to date with Destiny?
Gosh, it's when I was living in Australia. So maybe 20 years ago. Dude, it changed. Yeah, it changed a lot for me. And I did the whole car, like listening to the car thing, reading the books, like doing the incantations and all that sort of good stuff. And every now and then my iPhone decides to connect to the car and it just starts playing Tony Robbins. I'm like, awesome. Tony, okay, got it, man. I got it. That's awesome. So funny. Okay, what's your favorite subject to talk about and why?
Ay, ay, ay. Favorite subject to talk about and why? Entrepreneurship, business. Uh-huh. I love it.
It's part of who you are.
Eat, sleep, breathe. I never get bored of it. Never. Yeah. All day, every day.
I love it. And what was your first job?
First job was as a dishwasher in a pizza place.
Wow. Dude, yeah. You get like, it's better than my first job. My first job, I was picking up. Do you know what dingleberries are? Like, you're American. You must know what it's. Do you know what a dingleberry is? You're frowning.
I know what we use the word dingleberries for, but I don't think it's the same thing that you tell
no,
me.
No, I think it is because we don't say dingleberries. I had to learn the word dingleberries when I was a chauffeur in Colorado because I was like, people would say, Liz, there's a lot of sheep in New Zealand. I'm like, yeah, like used to. So my first job was like literally picking up sheep poo on the sharing shed floor and sorting out the wool from the sheep poo. And we call them dags. The people used to say, what's your favorite thing to say from New Zealand? And I used to say to them, ha ha ha, this will be really funny. And it used to be a really good thing that I used to get tips with because I used to say, rattle your dags means hurry up. Because when there's dry dingleberries on the end of a sheep and it's running along, they rattle. So rattle means hurry up. And people were like, ha ha, this is so funny. And they were shelling out the Benjamins. I'm like, keep the Benjamins coming, please. I would tell this story all the time just to keep the Benjamins flowing.
That's awesome.
So yeah, you get the first best job. But my story I think is better than yours. Just saying.
That's a good one.
Okay. What are your three greatest gifts that you would share with the world?
Three greatest gifts that I will share
with the
world.
Three greatest gifts that you share with the world.
Good Lord. That's, you said these are going to be light, easy, fast questions. It's not a light, easy, fast question. I guess the father in me would have to say my three children. Who are all just freaking amazing. I hope that my enthusiasm for life will be something that people remember and impacts people. And I would say that I really, really hope, and why my business is what my business is that I hope that I am able to impact a large number of people by helping them experience the things that you and I experience. To me, I more freedom, more money, and more impact. I think that those are human needs that in today's world, they have largely been taken from people. They don't know, they don't know how to own those things and expand those things in their life. They feel dependent on somebody giving them a paycheck. They feel dependent on somebody else telling them what's okay to do and what not to do. And I think that entrepreneurship in today's world, largely because of the connection to money, is the most practical way for most people to get that back, to get ownership of that back, to feel like they are in control of those things. And I hope that I can help a lot of people in that journey to getting that back. That would be rad.
Dude. Look, I've known you for a great many years now. We haven't hung out that much, but I see the impact that you have out in the world. And I just want you to know that from my perspective, at least, it seems like you're doing a stand-up job of making a massive difference in the world. And I just want to say thank you for what you've done thus far. And I'm excited to watch you go out there and impact more lives. And you know, make a crap ton more money yourself, helping a lot of people make a crap ton of money, doing it the right way. And yeah, having a lot of impact in the world. That's amazing. I've got another question for you. Ready?
Yeah.
What was your favorite childhood book and why?
Favorite childhood book. We're talking like childhood or like,
there's no rules.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know that I read a freaking book until like I discovered reading for business.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, like I was one of those people that I did not enjoy reading as a kid. But the first book that I can remember reading that I thought was just amazing to read was a book called Young Men and Fire. You ever heard of that or read about that? Mm-hmm. Norman McLean, the same guy who wrote A River Runs Through It. You're probably familiar with that. Brad Pitt uh-huh. movie, A River uh-huh. Runs Through It. Same guy who wrote that. And that was a really, really, really amazing book. It was the only book I've ever read where I literally had a physical response. Wait a minute. And then another one.
You're on a roll.
One that I read more recently that was the same thing, Endurance. The Shackleton story. Are you familiar with this?
Uh-uh. No, but this is all good.
We're not familiar with this. Oh my God. I will order it for you or who knows how long it'll take to get to New Zealand or whatever. Maybe you just need to go get it, but Endurance, the story of Sir Edward Shackleton, who was considered like maybe the greatest explorer of modern times. Mm-hmm. It is the entrepreneur's book. It's a leadership book. It's just a wild book where literally you're reading it and you're physically having a reaction to the experiences that these guys are going through. It's like, it's crazy. It is such a good book.
Get wow. book. Okay. I'm so definitely
forget Young Men and Fire. It's an awesome book, but get Endurance from get the Shackleton book. 'Cause that's incredible.
Oh my little old Lord, this is so fun. Okay, so what would be your last meal request? If you knew, I'm on my way out.
Wow. Oh man, it would be a really, really good, juicy ribeye.
I knew you were gonna say steak. Yeah. I just knew it.
Yeah. I think. Let's see, I'll go to the drink that will come with it will be an old fashioned, a really good old fashioned. Uh-huh. I like whiskey and then a really good New York cheesecake for dessert. And then what else would go? Oh, duh. And then a good Caesar salad. Yep. Really good ribeye, really good Caesar salad, old fashioned, and an awesome cheesecake.
Dude, I love it. Mine is basil pesto pasta. I am a pasta girl.
That's so good. That is so good.
It is so dang good. It's so good. Okay. Awesome. Final question for today. I'm not going to take you through all 50 million thousand of these questions because as you know, they're a little bit deeper than they potentially need to be. Okay. So let's just say you've got a cool milli. You've got a cool $1 million here and you have to give it away. Mm. You have to give it away. To someone, to something, to whatever. You have to give it away. Who do you give it away to and why?
Oh, I have actually thought about starting to do this just for fun. So this is what I would do. I would take a camera crew out and about, and I would create scenarios where people would have an opportunity to do a selfless good deed and catch them on camera doing it. And then I would give them a great big financial reward. So I wouldn't give them the full, it wouldn't be one person would get $1 million. I would do this like every day, you know, for like a year or something. And so every time I caught somebody, what would that be? I'd be like $3,000 a person or something like that. Like it's surprising with, which would be rad. It would be something like that.
Ah, dude, I love it. Have you seen the kindness diaries on Netflix?
No.
Watch
is that,
it.
Is that
it's similar someone? To that. The guy goes from through Canada down right through America, right through to South America, all with the crusty old VW Beetle that breaks down, and he has to do the entire journey on the back of other people's kindness. And when people are kind to him, he shells it back out to them, but they don't know he's got some money. It's really awesome. It's really, really, really cool.
That is really cool.
It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for rocking it out, being raw, real, and honest with me today. This has been a lot of fun. What are some final words that you, I agree. What are some final words that you may or may not want to say to the people listening to this right now?
I would say that I have never been more excited or more optimistic about the opportunities for people to create the life that they want to have than right now and in the years ahead, in the next 10 years or so. I feel like I can remember when I was living in Silicon Valley during the first dot-com boom, and that just like electric energy of like anything is possible. You know, in Silicon Valley, for sure, like anything was possible. There was literally billions of dollars being handed to young people with energy and just be like, yeah, that crazy ass dream that you have. Yes. Here's $50 million. Go make it happen. Right. That was like, it was so intoxicating. And I feel like that all over again right now. But I feel like the cool thing is this time around, it doesn't require the VC handing you $50 million. It is the opportunities with blockchain and decentralization and social media and information, all of these things create such ridiculously cool opportunities for anybody to experience the benefits of entrepreneurship, the freedom, the designing of their life and the designing of their day, that I'm so stinking excited about it. So I would just say to anybody that's listening to this, that is looking for something or wondering if that's the case or whatever, it's like, just commit to it and dive in deep and learn from anybody and everybody that you can and take action every stinking day and just go for it. Because I just think it's, the years ahead are just so freaking cool. So that would be it.
Dude, I agree. And I think that was a really nice way to finish up, because there's a lot of people on the horizon saying, oh, the horizon's bad. And like, all these things are happening. I'm like, no. We get to carve out our future in a really cool, amazing way. And I think a lot of people need to put their blinders on, like learn, go deep. As you said, learn what you need to learn, then go. And yeah, go and stay focused in your arena. Stay in your lane. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. Dude, how do people find out about you?
Let's see here. I have leverage.com, LVRG.com, is the kind of main hub these days that I'm focused on. So LVRG.com is a great place to start. And then you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.